As many of you know, my son Max is almost 14, which means he's growing constantly. So on Friday, I had to pick him up from school, and we had to buy all new pants. We went out to town center, bought 4 pairs of pants, which ought to do us for at least a month or two. And then we went to a grocery shop, and then we headed home. But by the time we were on our way home, it was 5:30, rush hour. I'm becoming convinced that our time behind the wheel is a great time for spiritual growth. I just found this great new app on my iPhone, which is called Waze. Have you heard of Waze? It's like a GPS. It'll show me where to go. But the cool part about Waze is that it knows where the traffic is. And if there's a traffic jam, it will reroute you around the traffic jam. So we're going up 95 North on Friday, and there's a big traffic jam, but Waze gets me on another route, so I'm driving free and clear and watching everybody else waiting in line. And I'm high-fiving Max, and we're thanking God for Waze and thinking, yoo-hoo, ha-ha, to all those guys waiting in the traffic. But I've been on the other side, and I know you have, where you're sitting there waiting, getting more and more frustrated, and your temperature is rising, and you want to tell somebody off. Our temptations get the best of us when we're behind the wheel, don't they? Because we can't see a person in that other car. So we imagine the worst. One of my good friends in seminary, he and I were both from the Diocese of Connecticut, and we had to take these horrible canonical exams. They were like 10 days, and then after that you had an oral defense. And the oral defense was out at the Camp and Conference Center in upstate Connecticut. So my friend is driving to upstate Connecticut, and he's stressed out because he's anxious about his oral defense, and this guy cuts him off. And he gets really mad. He's about to slam on his horn, and he's thinking about going around the guy and throwing in the bird. And then he happens, thank God, to notice that it's the bishop's car. And he said to me, "Thank God, Kate, that I recognize this car, or I might not have been ordained a priest." In our gospel, the disciples and Jesus are walking to Capernaum, and the disciples get in a fight about who's first, who's the greatest, who gets to sit next to Jesus at the table in heaven. Which makes me think that not much has changed in the human condition in the past 2,000 years. We're still fighting to get ahead in line. Jesus' brother James wrote a beautiful letter. We talked about it a little bit last week. In that letter, this week, he talks about how we all have these cravings inside of ourselves. The word he uses in the Greek is heidona. We all have these cravings, these desires, these passions, these notions that we need to do something more for ourselves, that we need to be first, that we need to eat more, buy more. And it is these cravings which get grow too large and they start to war with each other inside of ourselves. And it drives us to not be the people that God calls us to be. It drives us to be obnoxious, terrible drivers. When Max was really little, just two, he went to a preschool called Jacob's Ladder. Their two-year-old classroom was really cool. I could have spent time there myself. They had all these different places where you could play and learn. And one of the things they had was a bean table. Have any of you heard of a bean table? It's like a sandbox, but it's full of beans instead of sand. And so you can play with the beans and drive trucks through the beans, and it's awesome. One day, Max came home from preschool and he said that his ear hurt. I thought, okay. It's not uncommon for two-year-olds to get ear infections. The next day, he said it was really hurting. So we went to the pediatrician. She took one of those tunnel flashlights, used it to look in his ear, and she started laughing. "Wait till you see this," she said. Then she got a long pair of tweezers, inserted them way deep into his ear, and pulled out a bean. But the bean had found it so lovely in that warm and moist environment that it had sprouted. It was a very happy bean. When God made us as human beings, you could say that God put those beans inside you, those desires, passions, that are natural and good. For example, you do need to eat, so it's good you have an appetite. You do need to provide for yourself, so it's good that you want to earn money. You do need, we all need, to love someone. So it's good to find a life's partner and marry them, if that's what you're called to. But the danger is that these heidana, these beans, these cravings, if we don't watch them, they can sprout and grow. And then they can hurt us. Think with me for a moment about the woman who can't stop eating, who eats late at night, who grows to over 200 pounds and keeps on eating until her heart is in jeopardy. Her knees need to be replaced, and she can't stop then. Think about the man who finds himself attracted to so many women and can't seem to behave himself, how he tears apart his marriage and the lives of others. Think about the person who amasses so much wealth but can't seem to give any of it away when there are people who are hungry all around them. It is our job as Christians to understand that these cravings that we have are okay, but they must be held accountable, they must be disciplined, they must be cut back. You cannot fulfill all your desires. And the trouble is that American culture lies to you and tells you that you can. It tells you that you, when you want to eat something, you should get it and eat it. That when you want to buy something, you should buy it. That when you desire something, you should take it. That when you're feeling impatient, you should cut someone off or honk your horn. that you need to get there first and faster and faster and faster. If we do not handle our desires, they will kill us, and they hurt each other. Yesterday, I had to bury a 21-year-old man who died of an overdose because his desires became temptations, became an addiction, and he couldn't stop. And I had to hold the hand of his 3-year-old little son as we went out and put his ashes in the ground. This is really important stuff. Human beings are not designed to put ourselves first. We are not designed to please ourselves all the time. We must learn to say no, to say when, to say enough. And I know that every year it's very hard because we have to talk about money. And I have people that come into my office every year and they say, why do we have to talk about money? Because it's important. Money is a great tool for the ego. You can use it to fulfill all your desires. Or you can counteract that selfishness and give. Jesus said, if you want to come to me, you have to learn not to be first. You have to learn to put someone else ahead of you. You are not designed to put yourself first. Blessed are the least of these. Blessed are the little children. So I want you to think about something. I want you to think that your time behind the wheel is a great spiritual opportunity. My friend calls them windshield prayers. Hold yourself in check. Don't let your anger grow too great, though some anger is appropriate. Watch yourself. Be patient. The peace of God is not found by hyper-consumption. I like to call it the happiness trap. Don't be caught in the happiness trap. Don't spend your lives trying to go faster and better and bigger, because you will never find peace that way. Peace can be found in the joy that comes from giving, in the joy that comes from letting someone pull in front of you. Amen.